Hey, it's Eric G. Around the House is sponsored by Baldwin Hardware. For 75 years, Baldwin Hardware has been known for its first-class quality and craftsmanship in door and cabinetry hardware. As an alumnus of the Baldwin Hardware Design Council, I can say I have seen the details and quality from design to the finished product. If you're looking for a new style and old-world craftsmanship, I can tell you there is only one Baldwin Hardware. Check out what would look great in your home at baldwinhardware.com.
Get you on the radio, yeah, you gotta get on the radio. If the kids can only hear you, they go out of control. You gotta get on the radio. You want the money and the fame and the sold-out shows, and you gotta get on the radio.
You gotta get on the radio. Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is your home improvement source every single weekend. Thanks for joining us today. We are in our second half of the show here, basically. And man, it's been going fast already. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
Well, we've been talking a bunch of different subjects, but I wanted to dive into a new one right now. And this is something that I've had a ton of questions offline on, and I've seen it be a hot item that I want you to make sure of, because literally a hot item.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is summertime. I'd say it's a cool item.
It is. Outdoor swimming pools. And I'm not talking about maybe putting in that big outdoor in-ground
built-in.
Those are great too. Some of these rules will still apply, but so many people run down to their home improvement store, their Costco, their wherever else they get, you know, they get these things and go buy the above ground pool, and I'm going to throw it out there for the kiddos in the backyard,
like the 3 or 4 foot deep one. Or
yeah
I have not the kiddie pools, but yeah
you know, 3.5-4 foot deep, you know, metal and plastic. You know, and they're really cool, but you need to take some things into account with it. And I'm going to publicly make fun of somebody here that I saw on social media, and I don't really make fun of people, but this one was. And I want to see the after of it, and I wish I had a camera, like from a neighbor's, to watch this.
Mm-hmm.
Soapbox again. They were going to build out of pallets a square pool.
Out of pallets?
Yeah. So they were taking pallets. They put them on the ground flat. They put them up on the edges around the outside in a square, nailed them together, and was putting a plastic tarp liner on the inside, and they were making their own swimming pool. Yep, exactly. Get out the dueling banjos. Since we don't have rights to it, I can't play it, but you know what I'm talking about. And here's the thing with that. First off, there's a reason called physics why you don't have square pools. And if you need help on that, that's a physics 101. That's why they're always round. So you have forces equal going around the outside.
There's no joints where things can build up pressure and push it out.
So I really wanted to see what happened when she put 3,000 or 4,000 gallons into this pool and the side breakout after 100 people said, don't do this. And the arrogance and name calling came out. So it's this was on a Facebook post out there that I was just absolutely shocked with.
I mean, I'm just envisioning this right now. I'm imagining 8 people in a pool like this, all rested up against the outside, got their arms leaned back. They're leaning up against it.
Nasty pallets, which could have had a porta potty or the highest grade chemicals something else.
Who knows how much weight those things can actually hold? Not only the water inside, but then you've got people actually leaning back up against it. That's not going to hold up.
There's no way. It can't. It's impossible. There's no way. I mean, I could put steel cables around it and it's going to bust it up. So there's no way it's going to work. So anyway, I don't want to get too far off on that, but it's just, you got to use some thought into these things. And that was not one of those things that was going to end up being well thought out. Now, if you're going out and buying that pool kit, awesome. First thing I want you to do is look overhead before you put it someplace. Are there power lines? You know how many people put it out in front of power lines? Power lines going across the backyard. I do not want it where a power line could let loose and drop down into the pool.
Yeah. Live wires and water do not mix.
No. And I don't care. I mean, the chance of it happening, you're right, but I don't want it, that chance to happen while my kids are in it. Second of all, you're putting, after you figured out, okay, I'm not going to put it here. I don't want it by any tree roots or things like that. So not up against a tree. And if it's close to a tree anyway, you're going to have a heck of a time
digging leaves out and stuff.
You're grabbing junk out of that thing all the time. So second of all, I want you to look around. if you have a septic tank in the backyard, you know, and for you people out there that have sewers, septic tanks are just a big box out there where it goes underground, your sewage goes in there, and it goes out into the, you know, it goes out into a drain field, and that drain field goes through, and what happens is with that drain field is it goes down and it goes in and you're, it leaches out. So you've got that leach field out there. I don't want to see that pool on any of that, period. No leach field. Okay. So you want to have it off to the side of that. So if you're in the city and you're on city sewer, not a problem there. But just think about where that's going, because you could actually collapse that septic tank in if you weren't careful. So any of those things, be careful. If you've got an oil tank, just be careful with all that stuff where you're putting that. So get it out there. Before you build this pool, I want to make sure you got a 6-foot fence around the entire pool place. Now, I think it's almost national code out there that you have to have that, and that's to keep kids from coming out and getting in your pool.
I'm trying to think of pools that I've seen, and I don't typically, I mean, I guess it's if it's in a backyard, yeah.
Yeah.
That works if it's fenced in backyard.
It's got to be fenced in backyard.
Okay.
It does. That's all you need to have, a 6-foot fence all around the backyard.
So what if you put it out in the front yard?
Better have a 6-foot fence around it. Problem is most cities won't let you put a 6-foot fence in the front
exactly.
yard. Exactly. So that means you shouldn't put it in the front yard. And who wants a pool in their front yard?
Yeah, who wants to be out with the neighbors?
I don't want to be out waving at the neighbors going down the street at the pool. You know, that's, and if you're thinking about doing that, you're going to probably park in your car there anyway. So you're going to lose a parking spot.
Yeah. and I wanted to touch on this because, I mean, this isn't really, I guess, a huge question when it comes to actually putting a pool up.
Yeah.
But one of the most annoying things for me as a kid, because we had one of these pools,
yeah.
was walking on the bottom and walking on uneven ground and feeling it. And it would just, it hurt my feet. I didn't like it.
Yep.
But you kind of mentioned something about the social media person about putting pallets down. I'm like, okay, so...
That was going to be horrible.
Well, yeah, no, that because you're stepping
you're
through
crush it.
Absolutely.
It's going to crush.
But definitely laying something down actually seems like a really good idea, but it's also got to be level in that case.
So what you need to do is that needs to go on a sand bed.
I bring in
sand is what I've done.
Yeah.
So I've always brought in like 4 or 6 inches of sand, and then I wet it and I pack it.
Yeah.
So you get the roller, pack it in really good, set your pool up on that. That way you don't have that really bumpy, weird,
uneven.
Yeah.
No, I like that. I never thought about bringing sand. That's a really good idea.
Bring the sand in, then you're good. You can get some sandy loam too, but just that sand with nothing in it. What I want to do is I've taken a window screen and sifted that sand before on the top layer. I don't want a single rock in there.
Yeah.
I don't want twigs. I don't want anything that can pop a hole in that pool liner.
Absolutely not.
So that has to be free of any debris, 100%. That way you're not buying or trying to patch the pool liner. And then, so then you're good to go.
And it's easy to level out when you're dealing with sand.
Absolutely. So you get it leveled out, screed it out, pack it down really well, then set up your pool. It'll settle a little bit because you're putting thousands of pounds on top of it, but it's still going to do it. And that's just one of the things that I want you to make sure of. You need to get a good cover. And then here's probably the most important out of those things that we've talked about is you need to have a pump and a filter. And you need to do a dang good job of keeping those chemicals and the pH and the chlorine in line so people don't get sick in your pool. And that is a daily maintenance thing you're doing out there. It's like a hot tub.
Exactly.
You're on top
what
of
I
that.
Was thinking as well.
You're on top of that thing all the time. You need to be out there when it's up and running. Get out there. Run your pool test kit. If you're using the little swabs where you put the little strips in there, if you're doing the whole shake-up kit, either way, maintain that, keep on top of it, because you will make people sick if you don't do this part right. So stay on top of it, add the chemicals in, make sure you wait, whatever the directions say, that you don't, you know, don't throw chlorine in there and throw the kids in there.
Yeah.
Let it circulate, let the pump do its thing. And then if you've got an above ground pool, that's great. If you've got a below ground pool and you've got like the sand filters and those kind of things, make sure you're maintaining those sand filters. Do the back flushes to clean out the sand and all that stuff that you need to be doing. Make sure you're testing all those things out, because you want to make sure that you're getting all the junk out of there. You've got a clean pool. And more importantly, like with the chemicals on the above ground, make sure you've got them dialed in there as well, because otherwise it's just nasty pond water. And the last thing
it gets gross so quick.
Yeah. And you just want to have a good, safe place for kids and adults to play in out there. And And it's one thing to have the little kiddie pool. That's the little 5 foot one you throw your feet in. But, you know, a good cover will also work well, you know. Now, here's the thing that you got to be careful with, too, is when you're filling these, that can be a hard hit on your water bill.
Yeah.
And I've seen people have other places bring water in, you know, and you'll pay for a water truck to come in. But usually by the time you've done that, you're about at the same water rate. So it's just one of those things to be careful with. And then when you drain it, that's where an above ground pool, you got to put that water someplace. So be careful. Don't drain it next to the house.
Well, especially when you've been treating it with chemicals.
Oh, yeah. Just pay attention to where it's going. You know, you can, if you put 5,000 gallons of water right next to your house, you could get a flooded basement pretty quickly because that's just a ton of water. So make sure you're doing it right. If you're sending it down into the street or something like that, just, you know, be careful, you know, where it's going. You know, you're not going to kill fish and stuff with it going out into the street and into the storm drain system, but make sure that wherever you're putting it,
it can be treated.
Some areas don't want it going into the storm drain system. So just make sure you know where it's going. So you're providing that safe place for that. But more importantly, just, you know, when the kids are coming over there, keep an eye on it. Keep that good spring loaded locked gate, you know, and make sure you got those things safe because way too many people I know have had drownings in pools out there that could have been easily prevented. And I want to make sure that we're doing all those right things. And that fence around that pool is kind of the big one that I want to see. You shouldn't be, even if it's legal in your area, and I've heard of some places in the South where they just don't have building codes for pools. But the last thing you want is the neighbor's toddler coming over and trying to sneak a swim in and nobody's around to watch it.
They're hot. They don't know any better.
They don't know any better. And it's your job to prevent those things from happening. Because if not, you got a bigger problem and your liability. More of Around the House when we return. With a fancy car and expensive
clothing. What's up? This is Dick
and Satchel from Steel Panther, and you are listening to
Around the House with Eric G.
Yeah.
We love Eric G, and you should too.
Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement every single weekend. Thanks for joining us. I'm Eric G.
I'm producer Dane Botter.
He's the producer man. He's the one that keeps the show on track, and we appreciate his help every single week. Hey, give us a call in the studio at 971-233-8992 if you've got any of those home improvement questions. That's 971-233-8992. And it doesn't matter if you're on the podcast or if you're listening to the radio, whatever time you're listening, you can give us a call with those questions. We're here to help. If you're too shy, don't worry. Head over to aroundthehouseonline.com and you can hit the contact us over there and write that long email up. I'll respond back to you and we can trade some pictures. I can even give you a call and I can give you a hand at getting those home improvement questions answered for you.
Well, and don't worry, like we might bring it up in the show the next week, but I mean, if you're going to come to us on the email, we aren't too big about necessarily putting you on blast and publicly saying anything about that. If you're just going to send us an email with some concerns.
Yeah, we're here to help you with that. So we've been talking last segment here, talking about pool safety and getting that kind of knocked out because it's that time of year kind of coming up on the 4th of July weekend where all of a sudden that's creeping up around the corner. And, I got some fun stuff I'm going to be doing if this works out this week with Roger Wakefield again.
Yeah, our plumber.
So I'm heading over to his neck of the woods, and he's our resident plumbing expert that pops on here from time to time from the Dallas, Texas area. So we bring him on every once in a while. So anyway, a lot of fun with him. I'm going to see if I can do some YouTube stuff with him this week. If all the stars come in alignment, we're going to do this. So
that sounds like some fun.
Yeah, we could have that coming up. So stay tuned for that one. And if you want to see kind of those things, if that's happening, pay attention to Facebook. That'll be the number one place to be able to catch it all right there. So
just search Around the House with Eric G. That is our show page. We also have our private group where you can share all of your projects, any jokes, any fun things. That's Around the House Nation. It's a private group, so you have to ask to join, but basically about 95% of the people we approve.
Yep.
And we just want to see what you're working on.
Yeah, and we keep it PG in there. It's not G rated. It's PG rated.
PG sounds good.
You know, so we're, you know, it We have a good time in there with a lot of good stuff. So there's some good jokes in there, and there's a lot of good people in there putting up great projects, and there's a lot of great advice in there too from a group format. Well, I just kind of want to wrap up pool safety real quick and just say that, you know, before you put in that pool, just get a hold of your local building codes office and find out what you can do. If you've got an HOA, make sure that you can do those kind of things. Do a little research before you do it. I've seen way too many people do crazy things and the HOA comes back and goes, nope, and they ruin your party for you. So let's not get too crazy with that. And you're going to be okay. Going to be okay. Well, you brought up a great subject here that Dane, that we were talking about off during the break.
Mm-hmm.
Air conditioning tips, hacks,
upkeep
tricks. So let's talk about that, because that's one of those that I'm going to kind of push a couple subjects a little farther out here, but that is one, especially when we get into the heat of summertime out there, there are things that you can do to get things working better. So if you've got, let's say you've got the window air conditioners out there in your home.
You're talking about the one that installs in the window or like the tube?
Even the tube or the window. Both okay. of those will kind of work. If you've got the either one of those, what I do is, and I've got those here until we get our HVAC system replaced, which is coming up here hopefully shortly. The thing with that is that I run mine strategically. So what I do is, like this morning, I knew today it was going to be in the 90s. I'm like, it's going to be hot. So I turned it on early so it would sit there and get it pre-cooled in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Those are only going to usually do kind of a 20 degree temperature swing at best. So they're not efficient like a big heating air conditioning system that's built into your furnace, you know, your heat pump or your HVAC system. So I start mine early. I make sure my windows are closed. I try to keep as much insulation up as I can, you know, windows and all those things.
Blinds are all closed.
Blinds are closed where I can, you know, all those kind of things. I'm in the trees here, so I don't really get as much direct heat, but any more of that direct heat you can have solar heat coming in, the better you can do. One trick that I do is if you've got a bathroom, for instance, when you got the house hot, use your bathroom fans when you need to.
To circulate. Yeah.
Yeah. It's another way to circulate, because if it's got 100 CFM, that's 100 cubic feet per minute. If you can drag that cold air to that part of the house, you're great. But here's one thing you need to keep in mind with. If you put these in a house that's super sealed up, a lot of these units out there that you put up, they grab air from the inside, they run it through the machine, and they kick it back outside.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're putting a couple hundred cubic feet per minute of air outside. So you're pulling air from someplace. So a lot of the newer units, especially those little ducted ones where you've got the flexible tube, the portable ones, they have two tubes now where they're grabbing the air and they're circulating it through.
Oh, okay.
But what you have to be careful with is that I want you to put on that. Maybe you've got two of those running in the house. You turn on a vent fan. All of a sudden, you can actually have a problem where you can be pulling in air backwards through like your gas water heater vent. And you can be pulling carbon monoxide inside the house. So you need to be a little careful with those.
Especially with newer homes.
Yeah. If you've got 200 CFM going out, then you're into that area that I start getting worried about. If you've got a dryer going, same kind of thing. So when you're hot like this, it's a good time to also turn around and maybe not do your indoor cooking on the oven. Don't turn the oven on. Maybe it's a good day to barbecue outside. Keep the heat outside. Those are heat generating things.
Yep.
And if you've got incandescent light bulbs, every one of those 60-watt bulbs is a 60-watt heater. Keep those down. And if you've got even fluorescents, you know, the old Curly-Q fluorescents, those put a lot of heat off as well in the transformers. So LEDs are great because they use less water. I mean, well, water. Less, as you can see where I'm going. They use less energy and they don't put out that heat. Now, one little trick if you've got that outside air conditioning unit out there, I want you to, one, make sure that it's clean. Make sure all those little fins are cleaned off out there. And if it's a really hot day and you're trying to get a little boost out of your HVAC system outside, you can go out with a hose and spray that down.
That's something we heard about a couple years ago.
We'll talk about more of that just as soon as Around the House returns.
Hey, this is Ron Keel, the metal cowboy from Keel, the Ron Keel Band and Steeler. We are rocking Around the House with Eric G.
Raise your fist!
just make your stand. Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement. That's our buddy Ron Keel.
Good friend of the show.
Oh, yeah. Good friend of the show. He's got a new album out right now, so go out and check that out. We'll be changing that music up
here we'll
soon.
Be getting hopefully some of his new stuff in the show.
Yeah, I've been chatting with him about that, so we should see that coming up here pretty soon. So, hey, just so you know, guys, as well, I'm going to be out traveling a little bit in the next week or two. I'm going to be getting out of the tool shed, shall we say.
Just jealous. I haven't traveled in months.
I know it. I know it. It's like, I'm going to get out in the field out there a little bit, so... Anyway, so I should have all the podcast stuff up on the Around the House with Eric G midweek special, and then the Thursday, but Around the Toolbox special. It should go okay this week, but in case it's a little late, bear with me. So it sometimes travel schedules. I don't know how airplane travel is going to work. My flight has changed half a dozen times, and twice in the same day, it changed within hours and hours.
I mean, not to get off topic, but that kind of seems odd just because I understand they're probably doing social distancing, but I don't think a lot of people are flying right now.
That might be it, that they're trying to combine flights and move people around. I mean, it's all of a sudden I have a flight at 1 o'clock and then it's at 4 o'clock, then it's at 2 o'clock,
that's
then
super
it's at
weird.
10 o'clock. And it's, hey, I mean, we're getting, where's one day we got two emails. Hey, your flight's changed. Hey, your flight's changed again. So, you know, we're just kind of dealing with that. So I plan to get back on Wednesday in time for that.
The normal schedule. Or hopefully.
You know, just don't know this week.
Bear with us.
It's going to go. So we're going to be creating some good content nonetheless. So we're going to have some fun with that. Well, we were talking about air conditioners, and I was just going out to break here, kind of teasing everybody about what you can do to get that going if you have that outdoor AC unit. So make sure that it's cleaned up out there. And first off, you should be doing this. You should be having annual maintenance on your AC unit. And any heating, air conditioning, built-in unit, you should have, depending on the brand, 6 months to a year, you should have preventative maintenance checks on it. You want them to come out, you want them to check the system to make sure that everything's cleaned up, that that outside compressor is working, that you're not losing anything from, you know, the starters to the electric motor for the fan and the compressor, to making sure the coils are clean or any of that stuff. That's all maintenance you should have you should have this done. And if not, you are kicking a can down the curb. That's going to get you every time. That is how not having preventive maintenance is how that stuff leaves you hanging on the hottest of days or the coldest of days, depending on which system you're using. You will get burned with that, because I can say that out of personal experience.
Now, I'm curious, because you'd mentioned something at the end of the last segment, and it's something that we've heard from our experts before, is a cool little trick to keep your house, to give that little extra oomph to your unit, is to douse it with water.
Yeah.
If I've never had my own outdoor unit, so I can't say this from experience.
Yeah.
But man, that would worry me, because that's a big old box full of electrical parts that's firing
off. Outside. It's meant to work out there in the rain, the snow, everything else.
But I mean, you're
going to sit there, like, you can sit there with you could put a sprinkler. It's meant to be running in the rain, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
It's meant to be running in a torrential rain out there.
I was just thinking, like, a hose, if you're like,
it's sealed up. You don't want to be sitting there hitting the hose at the right on the power box or anything like that. You want to use some common sense, but you can sit out there and put a small little yard sprinkler on it.
It just goes over top. And
water will sit there. And I mean, let's be honest, water conducts heat better than air.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can get some on there, now there's a couple caveats to this. If you have hard water coming out of that hose, you could be putting minerals on there and creating other problems.
So gumming up the.
Yeah, you don't want to do this. And that's not something to do every time. But if you're trying to cut that back and give yourself a little bit of relief, that there are actually units now I've seen, and I've seen this come up on suggested products on Facebook, where there's little misters that you can now get.
Like built-in water
cooling system on top of it that you can add on to.
Like a computer, like you would have in your computer. Well, I mean,
Yeah, just it'll sit there and mist it when you want it to. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. Somebody's got on that to create a product for that. Have I tested it? No. Will I test it one of these days? I'm sure I will. But another one of those things that, to be honest, if you've got the properly working system and sized system, it should be getting that, 30 degree temperature drop that you're looking for in the house,
And if it's not, have somebody come look at it.
Yeah. Make sure you've got that dialed in. Now, of course, the most common thing you can be doing on all these is changing your filter.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you've got a window unit or one of the portable ones, those have filters too. and make sure that you're taking that filter out as Dana's looking around going,
no, I'm not. They can't see me.
Yes,
stop it.
Can. I'm going to call you out on that because you're looking at it going, when was the last time you popped the filter out of the back of your window unit? Or the portable one you got? Never.
Does my silence give you a good enough answer?
It does. See, there you go. I bet you it'll work a lot better now.
Yeah.
You probably have a Mexican blanket back there that's all nicely woven.
Well, I mean, I as we were talking during a break, I'm going to be emptying the water out the back.
Yep.
While I'm doing that, I might as well check for the filter.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Good thing to do.
Yeah.
Check that out. Clean it up.
I've only had it for a year or two.
So yeah. See, mine here, I already checked my filters earlier today because it was we have dogs.
A 90-degree day.
Sure. Now, that's two of them that could be done. So that's one of those things that changing your filters, changing the air filters, any of those things, those like yours is just going to be a rinse out type when you're using the portable ones. They're just meant to rinse out, get them nice and dry. Good to go. Inside the house, put a good filter in. If it's in your furnace system, get a good filter. Now, of course, use common sense. If you're using just the 99-cent ones, those are just meant to keep big things from getting in the motor. That's it.
If you're spending 99 cents on anything, you're not expecting it to last long.
No, but just stay on top of those things. If you've got pets, those you should probably be changing those things monthly. Yeah.
Dander and fur and everything else.
Yeah. Yeah. All that stuff. I've got the electric static one, which means I still got to go through and clean it. It's a little more of a process for the house, but it does work well, and those are things that you just need to, it's kind of like if you think about having a fan in the room. You think about how much junk on just an air fan builds up on the back of the blade.
Yeah.
It just, stuff gets stuck to it.
Yep.
And so you want to make sure that you're getting all that out of there. And then when in doubt, make sure that your system's working good. It's, we've talked about duct cleaning. We've talked about those things. Duct cleaning and sealing, there are ways to do that where you can get that cleaned up, sealed up. My little brother in Yakima, great example. He's got a house there in Yakima, Washington. And, old 1920s farmhouse. He just got rid of a bunch of the flux ducting in the basement for metal trunk line. It changed his whole system because that flux duct ended up being a balloon. As it put pressure to it, it kind of absorbed that.
Mm-hmm.
He had rooms that weren't getting almost any pressure out of it. And now he had to tone those back down because it was so full of pressure to the other side of the house. It was almost putting too much air into that room.
Now, does the machine kind of try and compensate?
No, a furnace, if you think about a furnace, most furnaces, now there are multi-stage furnaces out there and multi-stage air conditioners, but a lot of people have just a single stage. There is no compensation. It turns on, it blows air, it comes out.
And that's what it runs
thermostat
at almost
looks at
all
it
the time.
And goes, thermostat, it goes, we need more, we need more, we need more. Hey, we're at the right temperature. Shuts everything off.
Okay.
Now you get into multi-stages, that's a different process. And all those kind of things. But the problem is many times when you've got a two-story house, this is where you start getting into these problems because you're at 82 degrees up in the bedrooms and it's 72 downstairs.
Where do you have your sensor?
That's it. It's downstairs. But the problem is if you move that sensor upstairs, it thinks it's 72 upstairs and now it's 62 downstairs. So you still get that 10-degree difference. So that's where in many times in heating air conditioning systems, you'll put a dual zone system in. So that compressor can kick on and divert.
Just to the upstairs
if it gets too hot, or just to the downstairs or too cold, vice versa. So it'll go through and do that. Now, that's part of the problem is that dual stage. If the system's designed well, a single one can do it, but you're going to fight that battle. And these are the times of year that you fight those battles. And for me, I would much rather be dealing with it in the wintertime, because if I have a room that's cold, I can deal with that a lot better than that room that's hot, especially if it's one I'm sleeping in.
Oh, I always, I'm the same way. I would rather be too cold and then I can put on blankets or extra layers or whatnot. Too hot, you can only take so much off.
Yeah. And sleeping when you're all hot and sticky is just not
gross.
A good thing.
You don't want to wake up to that.
And so what I've done in homes like that is I've gotten the Ecobee or the Nest thermostat, and you can get the second little puck thing that's the other temperature sensor, and you can put that upstairs in a bedroom or a hallway so you can at least on your phone see what the temperature difference is. And literally all I've done as temporary fixes until I could get it professionally taken care of was to put a large fan in downstairs to go up the hall staircase to let that air move around and circulate a little bit, because many times when you've got that differentiation, you can't just turn the fan on and expect that to give enough to move that. So if you've got that larger open staircase, or like my house where I've got, you know, multiple vaults that go up into that, mm-hmm. I take the fan and kick it up that way and you're good to go. You know, you can get that knocked out, but that's kind of that challenge that you need to be careful with. If you move the air around, it'll make it better. Just like right now, it's hot as nails outside right now, but in the garage here, we got a fan going. It's not too bad.
No, it's nice.
Got a frosty drink right here. We're doing pretty good. We need to refill yours coming up on the break, mister. But that's kind of that thing. So you just kind of be careful of that. Always watch your humidity inside the house, because when it's hot and it's humid, you're going to pay that price a lot more. So it's a good time when you're taking showers. If you don't have air conditioning, make sure you're using those fans, getting that humidity out of the house, because it's going to make it that much more uncomfortable. But if you like that moist air and you've got air conditioning in there, that'll keep it kind of more temperament and less dry air. That moisture can kind of help you. So it's just depending on how you do that. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about one of my safety tips that I want us all to pay attention to just as soon as Around the House returns. Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement every single weekend. Man, where'd the show go, man? We always say this in this segment.
This isn't the last segment, is it?
Yeah, this is the last segment.
Yeah.
Come on, producer man.
This always happens. Burn through the show, and I have no idea where the time goes.
Exactly.
I'm Dane Vodder, by the way.
And I'm Eric G. Thanks for listening to the show. If you missed the show or podcast, just hit back and hit the back button, and guess what? You can catch all of it either on the radio or... You know, here's the thing. This show airs in most of our markets every single Saturday, depending on where you catch it. And then it turns into the podcast. So make sure if you missed part of it, if you're out running to the Home Improvement Center and you just found us on the radio, we welcome you to the team here. And make sure you hit us up on Facebook, Around the House with Eric G, and join our closed group, which is Around the House Nation, so you can join in the fun, shenanigans, and home improvement.
Well, and if you have any home improvement questions, we'd love to answer them for you. Our phone number here in the studio, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 971-233-8992. That's 971-233-8992.
There we go. So joining the fun with us. And pretty soon here, and we've been, man, it's with this whole, we've got this bigger plan here of having, we're going to start doing some Facebook Lives when we record the show here. Those will probably be on Tuesdays, so pay attention out there when you see that. We're going to start doing some Facebook Lives. It won't be this week because I'll be seriously, when we'd be normally to be doing that, I'll be on a plane.
Yeah, hopefully. You'll be traveling.
I'll be traveling, hopefully. As long as that flight takes off, I'll be happy. But here's the thing. So we'll give you some, pay attention to Facebook on that.
We'll give some heads up.
We'll give some heads up on that kind of stuff. And we're going to be having some fun with that. And we've got a giveaway coming up. Parts keep coming in for this. And we're going to have our own first Around the House with Eric G. multi-tool giveaway coming up. And,
I'm holding one of them right now.
I know you are.
I'm not going to say what it is.
No.
But so, it's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool. And so as these things roll in, we are going to be doing a giveaway with a tool company, which there'll be one to give away. It'll be a kit. And we're going to leave it at that right now. We're still working out the details on it. But I'm really looking forward to this one. This is going to be a fun little contest, so stay tuned for that. And we should have that here probably middle July is when we'll be starting that contest. So this will be something for everybody to pay attention to, and we're going to have some fun.
Give us a few weeks. We'll get it ironed out, and then we'll make sure that you are well aware.
Well, I want to make sure that these new tools are out and in our hands before we start the contest. So
are these tools that aren't released yet?
Some are.
Ooh.
We got some new stuff coming out, so... That's what's cool too. So, and this is going to be a lot of cool stuff coming up. So stay tuned for that. Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about, because it's that time of year, you know, we're talking about air conditioning because in most places in the country, it's a little hot out.
A little bit.
So I want to go back and I'll be honest, I'm not going to say anything about anybody else, but I've heard some misinformation out there on window locks and trying to keep kids safe. And I was out running around, I heard it. I want to correct the record to make sure that people out there listening get the right information. I want to make sure we don't have any kids here, and it's been really quiet right now, and I don't want to jinx this. I haven't seen a lot of it this year. And maybe some of this education is starting to pay off. I've only seen once or twice this year.
Which is kind of surprising, given that everyone's kind of been home for a few months.
So, yeah. So here's the thing. There's nothing more irritating than kids falling out of windows, because that can be so easily prevented. $20-25, you can go buy all the lock kits and put them on there. You don't need to put big, ugly bars in your window that the fire department's going to have a hard time getting through. Hey, there goes the neighbor that's been working on the project there. Cummins diesel guy. Anyway, long story short here, here's what you got to be careful with out there. I don't care if they're your grandkids or your kids. If there's a window that a kid can open up, or if you open up and there's a screen in it, they're going to lean up against that screen and fall out. I did a Mortgage to Oregon segment on this like 4 or 5 years ago. It's that old. Oh, there goes the Ford guy. Anyway, I'm really kind of making sure that everybody thinks this stuff through out there, because there's two things that you can do. One, put the window locks on.
Mm-hmm.
Get them on all those windows. Second of all, I want you to make sure that you don't have anything stacked in front of this window.
No dressers, no nothing.
Nothing. Clear windowsill. Here's why. Any of those things are staircases to that window. I mean, kids climb up cabinets. They climb up dressers. And while you're at it, make sure those dressers are attached to the wall so they don't fall on your little kiddo as well. So they make kits for that.
Pretty sure I shared a childhood story a couple weeks ago about this exact same thing.
Yes.
I wasn't climbing up to a window, but I was climbing up a dresser and it fell on me.
Yep. And you got stuck.
Yep. Because I was four.
We've all done that as kids, because at our age, even my age,
yeah,
those things happen. I mean, now if you look at IKEA, I had to recall a ton of dressers because they didn't have the ability to lock them back in there. And you can get those kits at Lowe's, Home Depot, those kind of things, a lot of those stores. Years ago when I was doing the segment, we couldn't find them. But I just want to talk about kid safety on this one. Keep it clear. If you're opening windows up, or these windows are open up and they're maybe a half story up or whatever, if it's more than, you know, 4 or 5 feet to the ground below out there, put a lock on it. And don't worry so much about the bars and stuff, because I'm really worried about somebody being able to rescue somebody out a window. And if you're putting in window bars because you're in a high crime area or the police aren't showing up to your area for other reasons, make sure that you've got a way to unlock those bars from the inside so you've got egress out of that window so you can get out of that. Because there's plenty of systems out there where you put bars up that you can pop it from the inside and open those bars up to get out the window.
And it's fairly easily done.
Yeah, and those are there to prevent you from not getting out. Last thing you want to do is to be jailed in your own house and have a house fire and have the window open and not the ability to get out. So make sure you're doing those things for egress. Fire department, they'll get in there if they need to, but make sure that you can help yourself get out there. And make sure those window locks, and there's a lot of cool locks out there that match up that look good, and you can make sure you get that knocked out. Otherwise, I want you to stay tuned to Around the House this week. We're going to have a lot of content up. As I travel, I plan to be putting up some stuff. And if it all works out here with Roger Wakefield, I'll be doing some Facebook Lives. I might even show up at his stuff, some videos. We're going to try to do some YouTube stuff as well. So we got a lot of fun going up there as well. And then next week, I kind of want to talk about some cabinetry buyer's guide and painting some hard-to-paint materials, if you know what I mean.
And vinyl siding.
Exactly. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vauder.
And you've been listening to Around the House.
Around the House with Eric G. is produced by Designed by Eric G. in association with Salem Media and distributed nationally by the Sun Broadcast Group. All rights reserved. Copyright 2020 Designed by Eric G. We will be back next week. If you missed part of the show, check out the podcast of all of our shows at AroundTheHouseOnline.com. Remember, measure with a micrometer, mark with caulk, and cut with an axe. Thanks for listening to Around the House.
Hey, it's it's Eric G from Around the House. Are you planning a decking or siding project this year? If you are, you've got to check out my friends at Millboard. Millboard is a completely different kind of composite decking and cladding that enhances outdoor spaces with enduring distinction. Hand molded from the finest oak, it realistically mimics the natural grain and color of premium hardwood. If you're looking for something that doesn't look like plastic and instead real wood, check out Millboard.com. Make sure and check out that interview we did just a few weeks back. That's Millboard.com.